story for those who know it best. See him hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.
Hello, everybody. Easter people, welcome to worship today on the second day of Easter. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. The light of Christ shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. May this candle remind us that the risen Christ is present with us here and now. Our hearts burn within us. Christ is risen. Let's join in the call to worship together. We need your presence on the long road, Lord, the road between fear and hope, the road between the place where all is lost and the place of resurrection. Like the disciples walking the road to Emmaus, we are in need of your company. Jesus, stand among us. In your risen power, let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. Would you pray with me? Living Jesus, whose presence on our daily road we often fail to see, warm our hearts with fresh confidence in your word, so that in making room for the stranger beside us, we find your hospitality awaiting us, and the reassurance of your presence to inspire us to tread the road again and to share the good news of your resurrection life. Amen. Friends, we come to a time of confession, recognizing that we need the love, the mercy, and grace of God to tread this world every day. Let's pray together. Risen Lord, what is it that keeps us from recognizing you? When we are so full of ourselves, it is all too easy to block you right out of our lives. Maybe it's the way we interpret scripture that obscures the signs pointing to you. Perhaps we are guilty of being slow of heart when we don't recognize you in our neighbor or in the guise of the poor or the dispossessed. Our eyes and ears have become so crammed with the sights and sounds of living that we simply fail to see you or to recognize your voice. Risen Lord Jesus, help us to empty ourselves of all that hinder our awareness of your presence with us. Fill us with the joy of knowing your continuing presence, so that like those travelers on the road to Emmaus, we too hasten to share this great good news with others. Amen.
Let us hear these words of your grace. God is not hate, God is not wrath, God is not apathy, God is love. And that means God forgives again and again. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. May peace settle into your bones. May peace calm your heart and mind. May peace spill out from your hands to everyone you meet. The peace of Christ be with you and also with you.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35, the English Standard Version. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back, saying that they had even seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.' So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Our post-Easter resurrection journey begins within the Gospels, depending which one you're reading with, Thomas and his self-doubt, his need to touch what we only dare to dream. And today's scripture reading post-Easter talks about some doubt too, with Cleopas and a friend traveling on the road to Emmaus. And we read in Scripture, too, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. What was Jesus referring to? Well, it was rooted in an inability to see how the story of their lives, Thomas, Cleopas, and friend, see how the story of their lives fit with the story of the Bible. Or I would suggest this slowness of the heart is rooted in our inability to see how the stories of the Bible, they fit into the story of our lives. If we would have read through to the end of Luke's gospel, for instance, Jesus tells those gathered for his last conversation that they are witnesses as to God's great big love story. The Jewish elder was asked how to tell a story, and the answer was, of course, to tell another story or two that show how our stories intersect with the biblical stories we share each week as part of our worship services. And here's a couple of these stories. I don't know if you remember that old gospel song that says, "You gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta walk it by yourself. Ain't nobody else gonna walk it for you. You gotta walk it by yourself." That song we started with has been retrieved from my memory bank about 1 minute after I read the gospel story from Luke, the one we heard. It tells of two travelers on a dusty road to Emmaus. And to be honest, what I thought of, though, was not some dusty road outside of Jerusalem, but rather a dusty road in northern Alberta close to the family homestead. Now, I'm not on that road, but rather I'm in the ditch, a beer bottle in each hand, walking along singing, "You Gotta Walk That Lonesome Valley." Before you jump to conclusions, I need to explain I'm probably 8 years old, participating in my own walk to Emmaus. I'm in the ditch looking for empty beer bottles. My older brother's in the opposite ditch doing the same, and my younger brother's riding in the car with our father. And I'm thinking Dad always liked him best. But we're doing what we did every spring, summer and fall, but especially spring. We're out collecting the empties to earn a little spending money. And nowadays, there'd probably be a sign along that road saying these 11 kilometers have been kept clean by the Grittner family. At that age, I remember the first 2 kilometers as being fun. Laughter along the way. But the last 9 kilometers were certainly worthy of that great gospel song, "You Gotta Walk That Lonesome Valley." Because that's what 11 kilometers of a spring water-filled ditch feels like. It's a lonesome valley of water and muck, with the occasional roadkill carcass thrown in just to revolt me. But so much for that happy childhood memory. But that lonesome valley tune conjures up other memories that I treasure just as much as those Sunday bottle drives. For the same father who insisted on the Sunday bottle drive also introduced me to the magic of the Western novel. Tales of the Old West is spun by the best of them, the likes of Max Brand, Zane Grey, Louis L'Amour. Almost before I learned Sea Spot Run, I knew what a Winchester rifle was. I knew what a posse consisted of, and I knew that all heroes had to walk a lonesome valley. And that would be generally between pages 21 and 99 of the thin novels. The authors were different, the plot lines were pretty much the same, though, and You begin at page 1, and between page 1 and 20, something bad was going to happen in town. Specifically, a bad thing was going to happen to a really good man. Either the good man, likely the town marshal, was going to be killed, perhaps, and the town overthrown by outlaws. Or in the second plot line, a good man, probably a sheep farmer from just outside of town, was going to be accused of killing someone and having to leave town on the run, with a posse armed with Winchester rifles, a short rope, and a tall ladder, chasing in hot pursuit. And this is all in the first 20 pages. Pages 21 to 99 deal with a new good man, probably the new marshal sent in for great secrecy by town council. One who's trying to get to town to save it from the outlaws. Or in the second theme, the original good man, ran out of town by the posse, is trying to clear his name and get back to look after his sheep and be reunited with his wife, who just found out she was pregnant one day before her husband was chased out of town. Pages 21 to 99 are what I call You Gotta Walk That Lonesome Valley pages. And the country's desolate, unfriendly. Danger lurks around every corner. The weather's inhospitable. So are the snakes. That lonesome valley is a place where soul searching takes place. It's a place where the plot is developed. And between pages 21 and 99, others are often encountered who are also walking through that lonesome valley. A campfire is shared, a pot of coffee brewed. Stories are exchanged, and often alliances are formed that in the end proved to be helpful for the new marshal or the sheep farmer returning home. In that lonesome valley, strength is renewed, hope restored for the battle that lays ahead. And between pages 100 and 121, the end of the book, justice always prevails. The new marshal arrives in the nick of time, and the cowardly townsfolk recover their courage and assist their new hero in vanquishing the outlaws. Women and small children are safe again. Or in the alternate plot line, the sheep farmer, along with at least one new friend he met in that lonesome valley, returns to town, brings the real killer to justice, and is welcomed home and reunited with his wife. It's a great format for a story. We find it not only in westerns, but in spy thrillers, murder mysteries, perhaps even Harlequin romances. Probably not in the Bridgerton novels, so I have been told. I like those Western novels not so much because it was so easy to get lost in the story, which it was, but rather as a reader, I was able to find myself in that story. I could become the new marshal, fighting through the obstacles to save the town. I could become the sheep farmer on the run, but knowing I needed to return to town to clear my name. And I would walk through that lonesome valley to get all of that and more done. I could easily see myself in that storyline, and I read so many of those stories, I knew exactly what to expect. Today's gospel reading is one of those stories that invites us in to find ourselves. In pages 1 to 20, we learn that a bad thing has happened in town. A man named Jesus has been executed without cause. The town folk have given up hope that some big changes Jesus spoke of might take place. It seems the old rulers will stay on. Friends of this would-be reformist have had to hide or to scatter to the far reaches of the countryside, ran out of town. And we find two of them on the road this morning, walking down that lonesome valley, doing what folks do best between pages 21 and 99, talking about what happened, talking about what will happen to them, speaking about their worst fears, what might happen next, daring to talk about their hopes and dreams. We know the conversation, don't we? We've had them. We've walked that lonesome valley. We hoped it wasn't cancer. We hoped the relationship wouldn't end. We hoped the bank would give us one more month. We hoped the terrible grief would end and we could feel normal again. Cleopas and his unnamed friend trudge along through the valley and are joined by a stranger who seems to not know what happened on pages 1 to 20, the death of Jesus. And so they retell the story to the stranger. We know how hard it is to tell our story when we're still hurting and feeling so raw. We hoped our churches would grow or find some new ways to be a church in these new times. We know how hard it is to tell our story when we feel so raw. And the stranger then uses Scripture to reveal his story to Cleopas and his friend. And Scripture is spoken of in such a way that they are reminded that the part of the story they are living on that one day is but a small part of the larger overall picture. Scripture that tells of God's big story for the world. But we know it's hard to remember God's big picture story when we're walking through pages 21 to 99, the Lonesome Valley part of the story. Nightfall greets the three of them and they seek shelter. Cleopas and his friend invite the stranger to stay with them. He agrees, and during the evening meal, the stranger breaks bread and is doing so is recognized as the Christ. In the midst of their lonesome valley walk, Cleopas and his friend experience the risen Christ. Like so many stories in the Bible, a simple shared meal turns into a sacred moment. Perhaps all of our shared meals should be thought of as sacred. And then Jesus leaves them, and they immediately leave that lonesome valley and return to Jerusalem in hope and celebration to tell the others about their having experienced the risen Christ. Experienced in the telling of a story, experienced in the telling of Scripture, experienced in the sharing of a meal. It's a story retold time and time again, and it's our story. And sooner or later, we will all have an Emmaus Road experience. Something bad will happen, followed by a time of travel through the lonesome valley, and then new hope is realized in Christ, and life goes on. And our hope for getting through our lonesome valleys, Emmaus Road adventures, lies exactly in the same places as it did for Cleopas and his traveling companion. Once they realize that life is a journey and involves a lot of walking, and once they were reminded of God's big picture story contained in the Scriptures, once they allowed themselves to become part of God's great big story, once they participated in the sharing of a meal and the breaking of bread, they were able to realize that they were not alone in that lonesome valley. Christ was with them on the road, and they were able to get unstuck. They were able to leave pages 21 to 29, the lonesome valley, and experience new life in the accompaniment of a risen Christ. For us to do that requires that we recognize that just like a good Western novel, God's big story has a predictable plot line. We just have to remember a couple of things. Our personal journeys take place in the midst of God's big story. A big love story that invites us in. And it is in the retelling of our story, in the retelling of God's story, that we realize these stories are connected. Our story and God's stories are connected. And we have to remember that during our time in the Lonesome Valley, we are not alone. The risen one is with us. That's the part of God's big picture story that we have to remember. That's the storyline that gets us through the valley and back to town. And we need to tell and retell our personal stories. We need to hear and retell the great big story of God's amazing love and realize how our stories, they fit in with and are connected to the stories of the Bible. And we need to be able to tell and retell God's great, big, wonderful story in such a way that shows we not only know the story, not only are we witnesses to the story, we are actually living the story. It's remembering we're all a part of God's great, big love story, and that is what will get us through life's lonesome valleys. And at about kilometer 10 or 11 of the Grittner Roadway Cleanup Program, I begin to remember that I know the great big picture of bottle drives. I know what comes after the day in the ditch. I know what comes after my walk through that lonesome valley. I'm still singing, "You Gotta Walk That Lonesome Valley," but I know the plot line so well that I know how it will end. Soon, we'll hop into the car, grab a sandwich, steal a sip of Dad's sweet coffee soured by the taste of that awful canned milk that I often speak of. And then we begin to guess at how much we will get for the bottles and what we might spend it on. I know that story so well, and I just know things are going to be all right. No matter how you tell it, the story of Easter is timeless. It's a story of strength renewed, grief shared, sacramental meals, and the renewal of hope. And it's all part of the bigger picture. The story of the risen Christ, the storyline that invites us and gets us through the lonesome valleys and welcomes us safely home. Year after year, Easter after Easter. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. Oh, nobody else could walk it for him. He had to walk it by ourselves. Oh, nobody else can walk it for us. We have to walk it by ourselves. You must go. Stand it for you.
Will you pray with me? O Lord of love, this often seems beyond me, the prayers of the people. What shall we pray about and for whom shall we pray? The moments and opportunities for prayer and the needs for prayer are endless, and we often feel overwhelmed. But you are not overwhelmed, and so we come boldly and humbly to your throne, our gracious God. You have promised that there we will receive your mercy, and there we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Indeed, don't we always need it most? Thank you for that abundant grace and this privilege of prayer. Thank you for the Easter message, your suffering on the cross, Jesus, and the glorious good news of your resurrection. Thank you for the beauty and intricacies of your creation and our lives, for the vastness of space and the universe and the beautiful little blue planet where we live. Thank you for bringing it into perspective recently with the photos and the work of the Artemis II crew. And this is the world that you so love. O God of the infinitely vast and the infinitely small, you are beyond our comprehension, but we rest in the assurance of your love, of your great love. And so, dear Lord, cause hope to burn within us as we bring the needs, the heartaches, the pain to you. I offer this prayer by Anne Weems. O God, we pray this day for all who have a song they cannot sing, for all who have a burden they cannot bear, for all who live in chains they cannot break, for all who wander homeless and cannot return, for those who are sick and for those who tend them, for those who wait for loved ones and wait in vain, for those who live in hunger and for those who will not share their bread, for those who are misunderstood and for those who misunderstand, for those who are captives and for those who are captors, for those whose words of love are locked within their hearts and for those who long to hear those words. Have mercy upon these, O God. Have mercy upon us all. With all this in mind, shall we come to our Father as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, for all the ways that you help to build the kingdom of God through your tithes, your offerings, your time, your talent, even your personality, let us offer back a portion to the building of God's kingdom. Like the disciples at Emmaus, we offer what we have. We invite you to be with us as we offer you our love, our devotion, these gifts. May our eyes be opened to your holy presence, now and always. Amen.
As we prepare to go out into this world to live part of God's great big stories, go with these words. Our sisters and brothers of Christ, go into all the world. Go forth with forgiveness and grace. Go forth with compassion and love. You are known, you are loved, You are enough. Amen.
Sir.